The following is a message from the pulpit of Parkside Baptist Church in Mesquite, Texas, led by Pastor Mike Wells.
All right. Thank you, Brother Josh. Take your Bible and go back, if you will, please. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, look at verse 23. The Bible says, whether any do inquire of Titus, it says, he is my partner and fellow helper concerning you. Now here Paul is talking to the church at Corinth. He said, here's something I want you to know about Titus. He said, if you're wondering what he's doing there, if you wonder if he's making right decisions, if you wonder perhaps if he is fulfilling the will of God for his life, he said, I want you to know he is my partner. Now, let me help you a little bit. Everybody that is a church member of Parkside Baptist Church is a partner with the preacher, the pastor of the church. I am not a Lone Ranger. I think you've figured that out by now. I don't have a Superman cape. I don't do that. I like making decisions as a church family. I spend time with my staff, and of course, my staff also helping me to be able to have insights. And so I've seen many churches where they have a Lone Ranger that's the pastor. What happens if the pastor dies or the pastor moves, the church falls apart. I don't want that to happen in Parkside Baptist Church. You know, if all of a sudden I get stricken with cancer, I have a heart attack, something tragically happens to me as I'm on a plane traveling somewhere and the plane goes down, I want to make sure that everything is well established here at Parkside Baptist Church. Now, I'm not predicting any of that. I just want you to know I want to live to be 110 and still have my own teeth, okay? And so I just want you to know that, okay? But the Bible says here, he says, look, he says, whether any of you do, it says, inquire of Titus, he is my partner and fellow helper concerning you. In other words, I've given Titus a ministry, much like I would give a ministry to an assistant pastor, to be able to be a help to that which is the local body of Christ, the Parkside Baptist Church, in all of its ministries. It says, or it says, our brethren be inquired of. They are the messengers of the churches and to the glory of Christ. Now watch the next verse, verse 24. It says, wherefore, show ye to them. And it says, before the churches, that's plural, before the churches, it says, the proof of your love. In other words, let's not be somebody that would take, let's say, one assistant pastor and put him over another assistant pastor. Let's not take one teacher and put him over another teacher. Let's not take somebody that has a ministry leadership position and put them over somebody else. No, let's try to show love for everybody that's a part of the family of God here at Parkside Baptist Church. Let's try to give due respect to the teachers, due respect to the bus captains, due respect to those that are choir members, due respect to the ushers, due respect to those that are captains of different teams that we have during a Sunday school campaign. He said, no, look, he said, let's just go ahead and prove ourselves, if you will, in showing this type of love. And it says, and of our boasting, it says, on your behalf. You know, pastor gets up and he says, okay, today we had 772 or something like that that came to church. Okay, that's not a boast of Brother Wells. That's a glory to God, and that's why I say thank you for working so hard. You brought visitors, you prayed, you gave yourself to the Lord Jesus Christ. You're the one that pulled, you're the one that invited people and stuff like that, co-laboring together, all right? So let's talk about this tonight on helpers in God's house. Helpers in God's house. Now, as a sub-note on that, I believe we could cover this tonight on how not to let the church and your attendance, your participation, be that which becomes a blah. You know, be that which becomes, well, you know, man, I'm so tired and I'm pulling myself into, you know, if you go to a ball game and your team is playing, you're excited. Amen. The five of you that just said amen, you're excited. Okay? If you go to some place and your kid is playing, your kid, your child, your teenager is out there and they're playing ball, you're going to be excited. You know, for the first time, your child gets up to sing a special. Man, you're rooting for them. You're hoping they make it all the way through. Hey, when preacher gets up to tell a joke, You know, you're excited that he at least tried. One of our families goes out to the mission field, the Westbrooks, heading out to the mission field. Hey, look, excited, heading back to the mission field, serving God. That's exciting. You know, when Denton and Hannah, and of course, their precious children, and Brother and Mrs. Pilewathigal, and their precious children, and Daniel and Rebecca, and their precious little one, they're heading out, and they're accomplishing things. That's exciting. I mean, how can that not be exciting? When you have that many people coming out so many, I know they're one of those false prophet type of guys, you know, said, hey, the world's going to come to the end. Did you hear about that? World's going to come to the end, September the 23rd. And so, you know, I do some Twitter type of stuff. And so I put on there, you know, the world was supposed to come to an end, but why it was supposed to come to an end. Parkside Baptist Church had 168 soul winners out on the street, over 200 people receiving Christ as Savior. Praise the Lord. You know, we're not gonna, oh man, you know, all of a sudden, you know, somebody says the world's gonna come to an end. What do we do? What do we do? What do we do? You know, what do we do? I mean, what do we do? You know, no. No man knoweth the day nor the hour. Hey, what do you do? Here's what you do. You just keep serving Jesus. By the way, if the rapture takes place tonight, there's no better place to be than in church. All right. So what is it that we can do to be helpers of God or helpers in the house of God? Let me give you just a couple of things. Statement number one, help the finances by giving. Help the finances by giving. Now, you say, well, how do I overcome the blah by helping in the church financially by giving? Because when you give, somebody gets saved. Because when you give, a gospel tract goes out. Because when you give, a bus runs. Because when you give, a song is sung. Because when you give, the air condition works. Because when you give, there's padded pews. Because when you give, the lights stay on. Because when you give, the live stream goes out. And people are encouraged and helped. And yes, people are even being saved through the live stream. Hey, because when you give, the ushers are able to usher. Because when you give, the Sunday school material is produced. Because when you give, the missionaries are supported. Because when you give, those that are on the foreign field are helped and encouraged. Because when you give, soul winners are sent out. I'm saying this, you can rejoice. If you would just understand the concept of giving and giving to a fundamental, independent, premillennial, hellfire, brimstone, soul winning, separated Baptist church, if you would just get a grip on the fact that you're not putting money in a dead machine, you're putting money in the institution that Christ, He Himself created, that's called the local church. Look, don't give your money to some evangelist out there. Unless they're through the local church and you're supporting them through the local church. Hey, keep it the way God set it up. Why? Because you cannot get any better the way that God set it up. Support some type of televangelist or support some type of, and they say, if you send so much money in, you know, we'll give you a holy cloth, and you can put the holy cloth on you, and you'll be healed. Forget it. Forget it. Trust in God for your healing. God can heal and God can work and God wants to do that when it's His will for you in your life. But I'm saying get on board with the way that God says you ought to get on board with your finances and let God bless you. Here's what the Bible says. 1 Corinthians chapter 16 and verse 1. The Bible says, Paul says, called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ, listen to it now, through the will of God. The Bible says in verse 2, says, unto the church of God, which is at Corinth. It says, to them that are sanctified in Jesus Christ, says, called to be saints. It says, with all, it says, all that are in every place, call upon the name of the Lord Jesus, says, Jesus Christ, our Lord, both theirs and ours. Now, what is he saying here? He's saying that these people right here were sanctified. They were set apart. They were doing this by the will of God. Now, can I tell you, there is no place like being in the will of God. Yes, even in your financial world. Because when you put Him first, God blesses you. God meets your needs. God helps you. Oh, come on. Okay? Okay, stand. Okay? Got disobedient child right here. Disobedient. Got obedient child right here. Daddy wanting to be a blessing to both. I say, take out the trash, and he says, clean the car, mow the lawn, roof the house, shoot the cat. So here's one that's a disobedient child. Watch this. Take out the trash.
Be glad to.
Wash the car.
I'll do that also. Anything else?
Clean the car out.
Got it.
Back massage. Man, he's just happy to serve. Now it comes blessing time. Come on. He comes to me and he says, can I borrow the car?
Now please borrow the car.
Sure. He comes to me and says, can I borrow the car?
Can I borrow the car, Dad?
Have you taken out the trash?
No, sir.
Have you cleaned your room?
No.
Have you helped your mom?
No.
Have you mowed the lawn?
No.
When you get done that list, you come back to me and maybe I'll give you an answer. Come on. But yet we treat God differently. We don't obey him. We're not doing the things that we're supposed to be doing. And then all of a sudden, we call upon God and we say, God, will you bless me here? Will you bless me here? Will you bless me here? And the Bible talks about as long as you hide iniquity in your heart, the Lord will not hear you. In one place, the Bible says that he laughs at your calamity. Now, I'm saying we got to stop practicing religion and we got to work on that relationship. And when it comes to the local church, understand that that local church is the only institution that Jesus Christ himself established. And that's why church is important. I'm not for churches calling off their services on Sunday night. I'm not for churches calling off the church services on Wednesday night. I'm not for churches having less Bible and more programs of acting and stuff. No. Hey, listen, I'm saying this tonight. Hey, church ought to be the old-fashioned way where somebody gets up and somebody opens a Bible and somebody cries aloud and spares not and preaches the word of God. That's what salvaged America years ago. That's what will salvage America today. But that has to be underwritten by the finances that we're giving. Statement number two, statement number one, you can help the finances by giving. I'm talking about how is it that you can get over the blahs of church? What can you do to help in God's house? Okay, you help the finances by giving. Statement number two, you help the fellowship by good guidance. Help the fellowship. 1 John chapter 1 and verse 7, the Bible says, but if you walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanseth us from all sin. All right, now wait a minute. So I have good fellowship by giving good advice. You know, all of a sudden your child, and I realize you're hot, and I do apologize for that, but stay with me as long as you can, please. You know, just pinch yourself and maybe get your husband to say amen or something, but stay with me as long as you can. Please don't try and drift off. I realize it's hot. Pretend that you're on the mission field. Just pretend. Just pretend you're in a hut somewhere, and you know, and I do apologize. We'll work on it, okay? But statement number one, by the way, I've only got probably 2 hours left, and I'll be done. But help the finances by giving. Help the fellowship by good advice. Teach your child to sit up and pay attention in church. It's good advice. You know, teach your child to listen as the preacher's preaching and not be texting. It's good advice. You know, teach, if you would please, about listening to those that play the piano because they put so much practice time in it and they are doing it for the glory of God. It's good advice. You know, teach your children to be able, if you will please, to respect their elders as you go around and shake hands and tell them to go up and to be friendly. It's good advice, okay? So the Bible teaches here that we're supposed to, if you would please, walk in the light. So we can have a good fellowship as we walk in the light. We can protect our young. We can promote the cause of Christ. We can provide the very best in our church. Statement number three, help the future by personally growing. You know, you can lead nobody farther than where you are. Help the future by personally growing. Well, I tell you what, you know, preacher gets up and he teaches us the Bible and he goes in deep on Wednesday night. And as he teaches us the Bible and he goes in deep on Wednesday night, I'm going to grow. Maybe that much. Now, we need Wednesday night church. I just covered that. Amen. But, you know, it's good to read the Bible on Monday, too. Amen. It's good to read the Bible on Tuesday, too. Oh, amen. It's good to be able to teach your children the ways of the Lord when they're lying on their bed, when they're sitting, when they're rising up, and when they're walking. It's good to be able to show them Bible principles on, honey, this is why we do this, and this is why we don't do this. It is good to be able. You say, but preacher, don't you think that's too much? No, I don't. Please don't forget that there's a world out there that's trying to get them. Amen. You know, stand up, Brother Crutcher, and I appreciate Brother Crutcher doing an outstanding job with our academy and security and all that he does. But if I am the world and I'm putting a hook in him, one little bitty hook as I try to pull him into the boat, and I covered this in my Sunday school class, but one little bitty hook as I put into this massive structure of a man. I put that one little hook in him, I try to pull him in the boat, that line's going to snap because it's not heavy enough to pull such dense weight into the boat. But what if I take and I put a hook here, another one here, another one here? See, that's why we do teach our kids that, you know, it's dangerous to allow the world to put a bunch of hooks in you. Because the world puts a hook here, and the world puts another hook here, and another hook here, and another little hook there, and a hook, oh, that one hurt, and another hook there, and another hook there. You get enough hooks in someone, here's what happens, and they just pull you right along. And can I tell you, listen, that's why you're in a church like this. What the preacher does is he tries to cut the lines and so that you can be free in the Lord Jesus Christ. And you're not, if you would please, in prison or in bondage to your flesh. You have the freedom to be able to walk in the power of God. And that's why a church needs to be right and a church needs to stay right. And I'm going to chase a rabbit for just a minute, but oh, does it bother me, Church of God, about these churches that are turning what they call their worship centers into rock and roll stations. It ought not to be that way. We ought to decide, let church be church. And hey, come to church and be excited about the things of God. And be excited about, yes, you got a preacher, wears a tie. And by the way, this preacher will always wear a tie. Hey, don't get upset with me because I try to occupy the holy desk that God has given me at a high level instead of a low level and a low degree. I think more of my God than that. Amen. Thank you. Be seated. I'm saying this. I'm saying help the finances by giving. I'm talking about the local body of Christ. Help the fellowship by good guidance. Help the future by personally growing. I said you can lead nobody higher than what you are. You know, if you love your children, go deep because the storms are going to come that's going to try and break you. There's going to be the storms and the temptation of you being emotionally wounded in church. Somebody's going to say something, hurt your feelings. They're going to sit in your seat. A deacon's going to steal your car. I'm just seeing if you're paying attention. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 9, the Bible says, we are laborers together with God. You are God's husbandry. Listen to it now. Ye are God's building. So I'm supposed to be a promoter instead of a problem maker. I'm supposed to be a prayerful partner instead of a freeloader. I'm supposed to be a peacemaker instead of a troublemaker. I'm saying, what is it that I can do tonight? How is it that I can be a helper in God's house? What can I do to be able to overcome the blah of church? You know, I made myself come to church. Bless your heart. Well, I just had to force myself. It's just so hard. I'm sorry. You say you're being cynical on purpose. I mean, you ought to enjoy church. By the way, dear child of God, if you're not enjoying church, what are you enjoying? I'm saying help the finances by giving. Help the fellowship by good guidance. Help the future by personally growing. You ready? Here it is. Almost done. Help the family by helping others to grow. You know, everybody comes in their church, and this is a pastoral message. I understand that. But everybody comes in their church at different levels. Now, just the same way that somebody gave you grace to grow, you give somebody else grace to grow. You say, but they came into church and they have tattoos. Yeah, but you came into church and you had hair. Nobody made fun of you. Nobody talked bad behind your back. Oh, but you know, they came to church and I tell you what, they're skinny. Yeah, but you came to church and nobody made fun. Now, I'm saying this. I'm saying allow everybody to grow in grace. You know, grace is a good Baptist word. It's a good Bible word. You say, well, they let me down. They just disappointed me so much. Then my question is, why were you looking at them so hard? Why do you expect more out of them than God expected out of you? By the way, he's the author of grace. See, here's what happens. Yeah, here's what happens. We come to church and all of a sudden we start to grow. We do. Then we become people that want to establish a law whereby everybody else has to perform at the same level of our growth. But what you forget is it took you 10 years to get where you are and they just got saved. It takes time to grow. You say, well, they ought to know better. You ought to know better than to judge them.
Amen.
Instead of judging them so much, why don't you help them? Why don't you say, this is what the Bible teaches. Let me help you obey God. Let me walk beside you. You say, well, I don't have time for that. Then shut your mouth. You know, stop being somebody that's playing the Holy Ghost. You say, well, then our church is going to go downhill. It started the minute you opened your mouth. You say, well, they should have bigger standards. Then show them how it's done. Look, I believe in Bible standards. I've got more standards than the devil. Are you surprised? I've got Bible standards. I've got Bible preferences. And I have the wisdom to know the difference between the two. Now, I'm saying this. I'm saying understand this. Understand that to help the future, you have to grow personally. Understand in order to help the family of God, Parkside Baptist Church, family of God, local church, you have to help others to grow. Love them, help them, encourage them, walk beside. Don't be so quick to give up on them. Hey, let me help you a little bit. Can I do it? You ready? Don't be so quick to give up on your preacher. Well, you know, I joined this church because I thought he was a great man of God, and I've been sorely disappointed. I know that. See, I'm a guy that knows that I deserve hell. And anything I get to do for Jesus Christ is a bonus. So you can't hurt me by talking bad about me because I already know who I am. Somebody got on Facebook not too long ago and they ripped me from one side to the other. A member came up to me and they said, hey, I'll take care of them. I said, let it be because it's really worse. I know where I deserve to be. And so because of that, it don't really matter to me. I'm going to love people. I'm going to help people. I'm going to encourage people. I'm going to try to be the promoter of that which is a general good. Now, here's what you could do. Next time somebody does come up, and I don't know of anything's out there right now, at least not this second, you know, but somebody comes up and they begin to bash the preacher, say, yeah, I'm praying for him too. Put him on your prayer list and pray for him. You know, when you try to get somebody that's unspiritual to pray for somebody else, normally it doesn't work, but at least it'll shut them up. Okay, I'm going to hurry. Here it is. I'm going to go. How is it that you can help serve God in the local church? Help with the finances by giving. Help with the fellowship by guidance, good guidance. Help with the future by you personally growing. Help the family by helping others to grow. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 12 through 15. The Bible says, for the perfecting of the saints, that means to mature them. For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. The work of the ministry. What are you talking about, preacher? Sunday school is a work of the ministry. By the way, and I think Brother Westbrook would agree with this, you're either a missionary or a mission field in every local church. Either you're somebody that needs somebody to help you, or you have grown enough that you're helping somebody else. Now, you and I should not have to have a Sunday school teacher chase us and say, I sure did miss you again in Sunday school. Oh, I missed you so much. Would you please come next Sunday? Now, that's okay for a little while, but after that, you ought to grow past that. Amen. Where you come to church because you love Jesus. Amen. Wait, okay, here it is. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 13. How long do we do it? Till we all come together in the unity of the faith to the knowledge of the Son of God, onto the perfect man. It says, onto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Look at verse 15. The Bible says that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro. It says, and carried about with every wind of doctrine. It says, by the sleight of men and the cunningness of craftiness. The Bible says, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. So what do I do? I need to feel like I'm a part of the church. That's important for every member, especially every new member. They need to feel like they're a part of the church. So what do? You help them. You help them. You know, and invite them out for a sandwich. Go eat a glazed donut together. Have a game night at your house and play games. Go for pizza. Drink community coffee together. You know, find friends that are among Christians. Parkside Baptist Church family are pretty good people. You say, I don't know them. Step out, enter into their life, and start to know them. Fellowship together. Have a great time. You know, follow the clear teachings of Christ together. Don't discuss philosophy that you don't understand. You're getting it over your head and you'll not be able to dig your way out. Don't. Keep it simple. You know, most people, I'm not talking about our church. I'm talking about everywhere that I go. Most people are very simple people. I'm a simple preacher. You ever hear the term bread and butter preacher? That's me. I eat the bread and the butter. Help the family by helping others to grow. Statement number next. Okay, here we go. Almost done. Here it is. Okay. Help the fellow believers by encouraging them. Somebody gets up to sing a song. They mess up. Come on now, dear friend. I love you, but they know they messed up. Amen. Somebody playing in the orchestra, and all of a sudden they have a violin, and it goes the wrong way. They're already embarrassed. Why add to it? Why add to it? Somebody gets up, they try and tell a joke, it falls flat. It's not my fault. Brother Crutcher gives me all the jokes. And I'm saying this. I'm saying help fellow believers by encouraging them. Okay, listen to me. I'm almost done. Here it is. Over in Acts chapter 2, verse 42, the Bible says they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and the breaking of bread. By the way, that's not talking about the Lord's Supper. The cup is not mentioned. Anytime that you have a talk about the Lord's Supper, the cup is always going to be mentioned. This is talking about old-fashioned Baptist fellowship and eating. Okay? The Bible says, and in prayers, the Bible says, and the fear came upon every soul. And many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And the Bible says here, and all that believed, it says, were together and had all things in common. And they sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men, and every man had need. And they continued daily, it says, in one accord in the temple. You know, here's what I find out. The devil, if the devil cannot try, yea, even to accomplish, to destroy churches from without, he tries to do it from within. That's why you hear me preach a lot on having the right spirit in church. By the way, you listen to me. I will preach, and I do get criticized for this, but I will preach, but sometimes I'm going to put some humor in there. Now, that is purpose. Why? Because I don't want you to become one of these people that is just... I want you to come to church and say, man, it was. Listen to me, don't get mad at me for this. But it was good to be in church. I learned some Bible, and it helped me. Don't get mad at me. I can see the emails flashing at me right now. But I'm not going to take the fun out of fundamental. Now, I probably got 9 preachers going to call me up tomorrow and say, okay, I'm not having you preach in my church. I want you to get the truth. And you know, sometimes I will get up and I will land blast you. And I'm going to teach you Bible separation when it comes to dress, and Bible separation when it comes to music, and Bible separation when it comes to your finances, and Bible separation when it comes to what type of church that you should attend, and why you should be independent Baptist and nothing else counts. I'm going to teach you those things. I'm going to show you those things. But at the same time, I do realize that we've got hardworking people in our church. We got people that give their best, and it's hard to live for Jesus. It's difficult in our day and time to live for Christ. So if sometimes perhaps in a sermon when I see that your face is heavy and you're kind of stretched out and you look like you've been beat up by the world, the flesh, and the devil all in one punch, please forgive me if I give you something light to bring a smile on your face for just a little bit. You know, I like church. I'm sorry, but after I got saved, I was raised in church, and I thank God for my former pastor, Dr. Smith, and how he would get up and he would teach, but can I tell you, and how he would preach, but it wasn't always heavy. And here's what I find out. These guys that have these pulpits, and I'm not passing judgment, I'm just saying what I've seen, and it's always, and it's always, and it's always, nobody wants to go hear them, and nobody grows. And you can't grow somebody that stops coming. Duh. Now, I'm saying this. I'm saying that, look, they continued steadfast in the apostles' doctrine. Hey, they had fellowship together. They had breaking of bread together. Hey, this was a local church. They're praying together. They're coming together, and their souls are knit together, and they had all things common together, and they continued. They continued. I hope that once you join the church, hey, continue. Just continue to grow and continue to do what you're supposed to do. We don't expect you to be a superman. We don't expect you to be a superwoman. We don't expect you to be a super child or a super dog. We just want you to learn to love Jesus. Amen. We just want you to be faithful about the things. Okay, so if you fall, so if you get down, so if you get discouraged, hey, dear friend, welcome to the human race. I'm done. Here it is. How is it that you can be a help in God's church? Help with the finances by giving. Help with the fellowship by good guidance. Help with the future by personally growing. Help with the family by helping others to grow. Help with the fellowship of the believers by encouraging them. Statement number last, and I'm done. Help with a failing humanity by practicing giving out the gospel. And now, when I say failing humanity, I'm talking about worldwide. There's people that's going to die and burn in hell. Oh, please get this. This is different than religion. This is helping people to understand that they can have a personal relationship with the Creator God through Jesus Christ. You know, this is talking to your neighbor. This is talking to those that come across your path. This is leaving a gospel tract in a restroom and somebody reading in and coming to know Christ. This is getting on an elevator and dropping a tract from the next person to pick it up. You know, this is being nice and kind and congenial to people without being stuffed shirt. This is actually caring with, if you will please, a technical type of strategy of here, I'm going to do my best with intent to give out the gospel to everybody I know. You know, with me as a preacher, I try to get numbers as far as great people, amounts to be able to preach the gospel to. I try and get people in groups, and I try to, because I've only got one life, and soon it will be passed, and only what's done for Christ will last. So I didn't get in this to play a game. I did not surrender my life to sacrifice my hours, to sacrifice my life, to just throw it away. No, no, no. If I'm in, I'm all in. If I'm going to preach, I'm going to give it everything I've got while I'm doing it. If I'm going to teach, I'm going to give it everything I've got while I'm doing it. If I'm going to go soul winning, I'm going to go soul winning. If I'm going to counsel, I'm going to counsel. If I'm going to spend time in growing my family and helping them to be able to see the importance of serving Christ and Christ only, can I tell you, if I'm going to be all in, it needs to be all in today and not tomorrow. Because we don't have the time to waste. Dear beloved friend, I said, we don't have the time to waste. You waste another week, it's too much. You waste another day, it's too much. I'm saying this, here it is, I'm done. It says, for by grace are you saved, Ephesians 2:8. It says, through faith, not of yourselves, it's the gift of God. Listen as I continue to read just a minute. It says, not of works, it says, lest any man should boast, you know those if you're a soul winner. But then it says in verse 10, it gives the reason why. It says, for we are his workmanship. That's why we do what we do. Created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained. Now listen to this, that we should walk in them. I can't be somebody else. Don't want to. But I can be the very best Mike Wells that I can be. It's funny, you know, when I was a young preacher, I would hear a preacher that would preach. I would study him. I would try to style, listen to what I'm saying, after him. Then one day it hit me. God created him to be him. And God created me to be me. And I came away from the desire of trying to be like other preachers. I came to God and said, God, here I am. I want to introduce you, as you already know, to Mike Wells. And God, today, Mike Wells gives himself to you the very best way I know how. God, I don't want to pretend to preach like somebody else, and I don't want to pretend to be somebody else. You have fearfully and you have wonderfully made me, and today I accept me as me. And by the way, some of you need to do the same thing. You can't be somebody else. I've often said this, if you're pretending to be somebody else, who's going to be you while you're gone? God wants to use you. Some of you, God's called into the business world. We'll be proud of that if that's the will of God. Now, if it's not the will of God, shame on you. Some of you are called into the ministry. Be proud of that. If that's truly God's calling. But if that's not God's calling, what are you doing? You know, you have to, as Paul said about himself in dealing with the church of Corinth, at the very split second that we introduced the message tonight, he said, called by the will of God. Paul found out as Harry S. Truman, no, the preacher. Who was the preacher in Chicago? Who was it? Ironside, thank you. Ironside said this. He said, to know the will of God is the greatest knowledge. To do the will of God is the greatest accomplishment. Amen. Now, let me help you, and I'm done. That means this. That means you don't have to feel sorry that God is using you the way God's using you. Amen. Well, I wish I could be used like so-and-so. You are not so-and-so. Amen. Let God use you the way God wants to use you. You know, come on. Some of you aspire to be the next Jack Hiles or the next John R. Rice, or you aspire to be the next Billy Sunday. Now, I love those dear men, but they're dead. You desire to be a dead person? Now, I thank God for them. Them, among many other men, has been my heroes. I would never dare slap or hurt or try to undo the great works that God has used them to do. And I love you, but please understand, you are not them. God's got a plan for your life. God needs your personality. God needs everything about you. And if you would give yourself wholly to God, no telling what God could do in you and through you, because He has all you. That's what He's wanting. I'm done here. I gotta quit. But in our realm of Christian faith, we would have what I would call professional, non-spirit-filled people. They come to church and they're professional. And they got the walk. They got the, but there's nothing real. See, and that's how come there's no revivals nowadays. That's why there's no revivals in our churches nowadays. Because it's just a stucco. It's just a, you know, and I don't want Parkside Baptist Church to be that way. Man, I want Parkside Baptist Church to be a people that just loves God. That just says, hey, look, here I am. Not much, but God, if you can use me, I yield. And let that be, we're not in competition here with each other. Now, in a minute, we will be. We'll have the teams. But for this sermon right now, we're not in competition. We're not.
Amen.
Brother Walter's with America for Christ. I was going to call him Church of Christ, but no, he hasn't gone that far yet. But Brother Walter's with America for Christ. You know, you hear about, man, had 100 saved. I don't believe it. Well, then go.
Amen.
Hear about the thousands and thousands that get saved with our Philippine journeys and over in Southeast. I don't, go. You hear about, man, you know, so-and-so, they had 25 in their Sunday school class. Well, it's just because he treated them to coffee. Well, don't get excited. I wasn't Maxwell. All right. Well, then go. We labor together. All right, here we go. You ready? I shut up. But here it is. Ready? Come on. Come up here. Get a burden. Kneel down. Cry. David, come on. Come up. Put your arm over his shoulder. Kneel down. Pray with him. Start crying. Here it is. Luke, come on. Just get a hold. Sir, come on. When's the last time you've seen that? When's the last time you saw a church member that had a burden? They came to the altar and somebody loved them enough to be able to say, it's not about me. It's about them. There's ways to serve God in the local church. Are you doing what you should be doing? Let's stand. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Thank you, fellas. Go back.
Thank you for joining us today. For more audio or video content, you can visit our website at parksidebaptist.org.